Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about what else UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, guys, there is just so much to talk about, so much exciting stuff going on. Last week was a really exciting show. I hope you had a chance to listen to it. Our guest was Glynis Heenan, and she was actually hails all the way from South Africa originally, but moved here years ago to North Carolina to the town of Cashiers, a tiny little town which is right now experiencing a UFO wave. And our former guest, Glynis, she had like something around 30, 40 sightings in the past year, and just has had this amazing spiritual awakening, and a really interesting lady, very interesting stories to tell. If you didn't get a chance to catch the show, remember all the shows are archived on the BBS website. So check it out. I think you'll find it interesting. I certainly did. Okay, now we're moving a little bit away from UFOs and towards the paranormal. I think they're related. Maybe more about that later in the show. But tonight, our guest is a professional psychic intuitive, a psychic advisor. She's actually been doing this work for more than 25 years. Her name is Maureen Holleran. That's H-O-L-L-E-R-A-N. And as I said, she's been doing this for decades. She's a published author and the owner of Tarot Visions, which was established in 1988 and holds the copyright to Maureen's audio tape, Acquainting Yourself with Tarot Cards. Now, in 1990, the Academy of Metaphysical Arts was founded as a subsidiary of Tarot Visions, and the Academy was a center designed basically to attain personal and spiritual development and universal understanding. Cool. Through teaching, metaphysical tools under the guidance of various respected qualified practitioners. Very, very cool. Our guest, Maureen Holleran, has actually been conducting seminars, lectures and workshops throughout Southern California to some pretty impressive clients, including Disneyland executives, Fortune 500 company executives, and many other private party bookings and all sorts of really interesting stuff. She was the former resident psychic on KNAC Los Angeles FM radio and is currently pursuing all kinds of exciting new challenges and opportunities in the psychic entertainment industry. So this is pretty exciting stuff. We're very, very honored to have our guest on tonight. She's really quite accomplished in this field, so I want you all to welcome our guest, Maureen Holleran, professional psychic intuitive. Maureen, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. It's lovely. It's very fascinating what you are involved in, what your research is, and thank you for all the lovely compliments.
Oh, they're well deserved.
I'm all that, huh? I'm all that, and then some.
Well,
but
exciting.
It wasn't always fun.
It's really exciting what you do. You know, I mean, I think it's finally really reaching mainstream, the whole psychic field. It's really exciting times for, you know, people like
it is
you.
Exciting times. There's a lot of not very exciting. Well, there's a lot of we're all psychic, but there's a lot of individuals that that are in the work that perhaps that I do, but that are not all that authentic, I guess is the better word of saying.
Why do you suppose that is? Why does this field attract so many? Charlatans.
Money. People, it's amazing how people, it amazes me, it's not what I believe or anything, I only know what I know, but I've been amazed from past experiences of meeting people that are really, educated, smart individuals that have gone to these psychics and they end up giving them $20,000 because they feel these psychics have all this power to bring them or get away or tell them that they have negativity and they can get it away. These people are educated people, like I said, that will put out so much money. And that's why I think it attracts some people, because anybody can read about or learn about, you know, little way. Just actually, there's books out there in some places, not that we know. I mean, not that I can name, like not at Borders or not at
right.
Borders or, you know, the other one, Barnes and Noble, but that they actually publish for trickery. Like in the 1800s, there was a lot of psychics that were doing tricks.
Right.
So that's what has happened, you know, and they're, you've probably heard about this. Somebody says, yeah, I'll burn some candles, give me $50,000, and your life will be lovely. I think that's what attracts a lot of name, and people make a lot of a good living, and they're psychic to the stars. I wasn't motivated by that. In fact, I didn't pick this. This is not what I saw myself doing ever. No. In fact, it was a very hard journey for me, how I got involved. This is my work. This is it. And it was very difficult getting to that place.
Right,
but
right,
instead of reading about, well, I want to do this, and this looks like a good thing to do as a career. There's different types of psychics, but we all have, you know, we all have the ability. You too can be psychic.
Oh, I believe that. You know, I grew up very skeptical of all this stuff, really skeptical, and I was ready to tell people who thought they were psychic basically that they were full of, you know, crap.
Yeah,
I don't know any other nicer way of putting it. But then, you know, my mother died, and that changed things. I saw her ghost. I started having these amazing dreams, and things just opened up. And before you know it, I was having all kinds of amazing psychic experiences.
Well,
like,
you know
out of body stuff. And
well, that can be scary too.
Oh, it was scary at first.
And that's how it was. Yeah, that's how it was for me. Because I'm still skeptical. But that's why I say I don't believe. It's not that I believe in anything. I only know what I know out of my experiences. And boy, some of them are pretty out there. And I'm sure that you could identify with maybe what I'm talking about with your own, you know, personal journey with what you're doing or what you do.
Well, how did you get started? I mean, you say you grew up skeptical and it was difficult in the beginning.
You know,
what happened?
Well, it was my darn parents. What happened? You know, it started... I've come from a large, very large family. There's six kids, and it was a wealthy family. But you do too?
Yeah, six kids.
Uh-oh, there's a problem here. Three boys and three girls. How about you guys?
No, four boys, two girls. I'm number four.
All right, there you
four.
Have it.
No, I'm number five.
What number are you, fourth?
Number five.
You're number
one,
five.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't talk to you any longer. I don't talk any. No, I'm the number four. Five is a good. Well, you know, I came from a large family there is a very wealthy, and it was clouded by the material world is what's going on. So I was, you know, I picked this family and I jumped into it, you know, and so Catholic, you know, really,
right.
I went to Catholic school
and
the demons, and you know that how that works. So immediately when I was really young, I was having, it's actually a very intense story, and I don't, you know, I've been really, through the years now, I'm a lot older and stuff, but boy, it was really hard getting this out, because my family would say I was crazy, and a lot of others, but you won't, so here it goes.
No, I won't.
It was around 5 years old when I noticed some really unusual stuff happening around me. Things were moving. And then later on, when I was, you know, older and as an adult, I would find out it was psychokinetics, PK stuff, and were movements. And I was a kid. And a lot of times kids will be more open to things like that. But it was really hard because I felt there was something wrong with me in a Catholic upbringing. I thought there was some, you know, demon stuff. And so I really didn't have anywhere to turn to my family because it wasn't like, you know, you hear about the people that are intuitive and they go, oh, I'm from fifth generation or sixth generation. Well, I'm not from any generation.
Oh, wow.
There wasn't any support, which is okay, but it was difficult for me because from there on end, I was going downhill because I was alone in things that I was picking up on instead of being embraced with whatever was going on. I was being, you know, told I was crazy and there was something wrong with me. And so I went on a really bad journey for a long time and did a lot of things that would, you know, things that would shut my mind down, you know, like just not, I was on a bad road and I was utilizing a lot of things to allow myself not to feel.
Right. I think that's pretty common, you know,
with
sensitives, because it's a lot to take.
It is when you're in a family, especially a large one with money, that is really, you really feel lost because you're labeled strange and different and difficult. So, you know, so that was the major obstacle right there. So, and I'm not feeling sorry for, you know, I'm poor me or anything. It's who I am. And if it didn't happen like that, I wouldn't be here right now being funny. Well, I think, but basically what happened, I made some really poor choices and hard lessons that finally I found my true path, but it took a long ways and I was really sick. And, like you were talking about, you're very skeptical, like, so as I. Everything was going on and so I would numb myself with whatever I could do. And then I could say that's happening because I'm like this, feeling this way from something else, like drinking or something. And, but like you said, until your mother died, then all these things opened up to you.
Exactly.
Well, it was like, it was in my late, you know, not till I got to my 20s, then all of a sudden, everything that I was utilizing to numb me stopped. I didn't mean for it. It just stopped. And it's like literally the hit the fan. And it was terrible. I was really sick. Things were moving. Things were lifting. And everything was, I was picking up on earthquakes, the Northridge one especially. And, and I was getting really sick and I couldn't eat. I was really thin and it looked like I was a mess. Like my family always thought she's using things to make her do whatever. So it was a really hard journey and I do miss it sometimes though, you know, cause like I asked you, it can be very pain. Like when you said, it just dawned on me when you said you had started having all these out of body experiences from your mom's death and it's scary. It's scary. Everything was very scary to me because I couldn't blame it on, well, I've been drinking. I can't blame this happening in front of me. So I finally got it together. It took a long time. That's why, you know, I didn't think this work. I would never thought, but I did contact UCLA, parapsychology department, to do some research, and they wanted me for a PK experience, exploration, probing me.
And, very cool.
Yeah, it was very intense. But are you familiar with PK? PK studies are very interesting. They're very, very controversial about if there's... Well, you know, in the 1800s, again, people would have those signs, and the levitations of tables, you know, that's PK and all that stuff.
Right. Well, no, I know a lot about it. Actually, I wrote a book called Levitation.
Well, then that's right. I did notice that. Well, then what am I saying? Yes. So there, and it wasn't that I could control these things. You know, in fact, I even hired a psychic to come and take some evil doing person, evil entity out of my home. But, yeah, I did, because it was awful, like I said, and I was crazy, because I was clear-headed more than ever at that time, because I wasn't drinking, I wasn't doing anything that would, so that's what was happening. I had to see it. It was my time. So that was my journey to it.
Wow.
And so it was very difficult and it was very sad because, but then again, it is who I am. So I look at it as a really neat thing. But then I got involved with tarot cards for step, you know, it was kind of like the step program they do in AA. I was just utilizing them to get over some, you know, breakup of a boyfriend. I started just connecting with them, and the movements of cards seemed like everything in the PK that was going on, everything kind of pushed themselves in the right place. So I started drawing pictures. I started going through all these like experiences, like you were saying, but I wasn't having out of body, but I was having a woman's voice talking to me, and it wasn't scary, but it's beautiful. But I was running, and so then the next thing you know, here I am. but it's been very hard because I had, like I said, I did not feel comfortable about doing this, when I started my business. I kept feeling I had to explain myself to everybody I'm doing this for other reasons. This is my work. And So, mm-hmm. and my family got on board a little bit later when the marketing of the psychics came out, and you know, the big business dollar signs.
Oh no! Well,
you know, when the 90s came, and you know, the 900 lines came up.
Well, I guess
then
that's
I was okay.
Good, ultimately,
I was okay then. Yay! But I don't know. I don't know. It was hard, and it was. And then I had a daughter, and it was hard on her later with her friend. It is kind of hard doing what I do, and I'm funny about it. You know, I'm really. But I do read tarot cards. However, I don't use them. They're not magical.
Right. Well, how did you go from you know, having all these experiences to starting, you know, to see the opportunity of being able to use this to help other people?
Well, what happened was when I was utilizing it for my own journey, it was like I said, it was almost like the 12th that I was doing it, and I was looking at these. I always found them fascinating, but I started drawing these incredible drawings, and I wasn't an artist. And then next thing you know, someone asked me to illustrate a book for them because they saw my work, and I go, well, this is personal stuff. And from there, I was running a restaurant, and the owner asked me if I would read cards for the Halloween. I go, I can't do that. I don't do that. He says, yes, you can. He said, and he goes, I don't believe in any of the psychic stuff. But he says, I don't believe in those cards, but I believe in your intuition. You've given me a lot of insight. Because I don't need the cards, but I feel more comfortable utilizing them for my own head. You know, I just start talking away. But what happened was I had to go through some really hard lessons with what I was going through with connecting with them was, I had to see what kind of the negative self that I was in, and I wasn't, you know, I did a lot of work on myself. So that's why I did the audio tape, the instructional course. It was my own interpretation of what they were and what they could do, or what they can do to help me or anybody else help as a tool. They weren't magic. They weren't. And I get really freaked out about them when I've read for people. They go, now what is that card saying? And I put my mouth down really low. I go, it's not saying anything. I'm doing the talking. You know, people go, what is that card saying? I go, I don't hear it. I don't hear it. So I was trying to say, you know, it was actually what I felt was it was a good way for anybody that would want to go inward and do some work on themselves. These were really good because they, to me, represented something that was a little bit more than just their tarot cards. They were like they were like a symbolic record of human experience is what I called it. And if they were approached in a really good way, they could be a rewarding tool. And
right.
And I did a lot of, you know, went and read the Bible again after being raised Catholic. I never really knew what the Bible said, but I was, you know, doing so much research on everything. So it was quite interesting and quite eye opener. And that from there, I've been carrying on, and I have never had such interesting. I've never had it so much. I don't know if this pertains to you, like when you said that you started having the out of, you know, you were skeptical, but then you started having those experiences, and it has nothing to do then with whether you believe in anything in it anymore. It's just what you know, right? Because you know what you went through. So I started thinking, well. Okay, this is the thing. All I know is what these are. I don't know if they're. It's my work. It's just. I guess this is what it's supposed to be. But I also have been having a hard. I've always had a hard time coming to grips with it. It's okay, but I don't know. It's. I don't try to read. I don't read for myself. I don't read for anybody I'm emotionally attached with. But you have to release some false ego when you read, or you help somebody. And by doing that, well, yeah, you can't be objective. And by doing that, you can't. It's very difficult, and it's hard, and you can't judge. And a lot of people listen to people's story, and then they'll judge, and they're not objective. I'm a little bit eccentric, a lot. And I think that in a good way. Now I'm not crazy. I'm special. You get labeled differently later on when you get older, you know.
Right. Well, you say, there's different kinds of psychics and who specialize in different areas. So you're saying you specialize in tarot readings?
I specialize in much. I specialize in housework. No, that is my main tool. When I do readings, well, actually, when I was on the radio and KNAC years ago, I was in the studio in the morning show. For instance, people will call in for readings, and I couldn't use my cards because it's too quick. And so I would just start whatever I'm feeling, and it's coming out of my mouth, which I talk a lot fast too. But the tarot is my main tool is my tarot. Like I said, I know everything. You can read all the books you want. Everybody's put out about what this and that. But my experience was, because the way I read them is, somebody will, if I feel, it's almost like they give me a peace of mind, because I'm still skeptical what I'm getting. Where am I getting it from, you know? And so if I have something in front of me, and it might be I look at a color and something will connect with that, and I'll say what I learned, not to doubt myself, and it will come out. Or if I start feeling really cold or something, it could be I'm not interpreting the cards so much anymore. It's they're just it's a tool to open me up to, and numerology as well, and astrology. I integrate it at all. It all. Yeah.
Well, it's like a tool to access your higher self. Well, this is my question, Maureen. Where is this information coming from? Are you speaking to, like, spirit guides? Are they ghosts? Are they your higher self?
Like a guide hanging out with me? No.
I mean, what's your theory, or do you know?
Good question. That's a very good question. You know what? You know what really bothers me is I don't have. I wish I could say that. It would sound really good. I don't know. You know, because let me tell you, I've gone through some things, you know, because I have some family members that love going to the journeys, and they look in them for their spirit guide and all that. And I try to go through those things. I don't see anybody. There's nobody there. And some woman, she's a very highly respected woman. She's a very high up there in the elders of the. She's Indian, and she told me one time. I hate that. I don't get these things that all these people are getting, and I do the work I do. She was worried. She goes, "You are it." It does. It's okay. So I don't. I don't. It's not coming from a third party.
Oh,
it's not coming from an. Yeah, I don't feel it is. I think it's coming from me, and I think like I said, we all have that. Like, Preston, haven't you ever felt? You know, people can present something, and things aren't what they appear to be, right?
Right.
And Ted Bundy is a good one. You know, people are so into looking at, they cannot look beyond appearances, where as I just do, and that's been hard, because most of the time that's when I'm told I don't know what I'm talking about, you're crazy. Because, you know, if you looked at Ted Bundy, he's a good one, and people, if they could really look beyond his appearances, those women wouldn't have gotten in the car with him. I'm using him as an example, because we see somebody drive up in a really pretty car or something, we think they're okay. Instead of, to me, if I feel although in front of me it looks like it's fine and you're a wonderful person or whatever, I just get a feeling and I just know it's not. And
right.
It's just, you know, my feeling, I do have this, it's like children have it too, and dogs. I don't know about cats, they're a little bit more they are. But you know, children, you notice little children before they're age 10 especially, they are completely intuitive on their wits, on their feelings. They don't have a guide, I don't think. I think we all have, you know, a higher power, but I don't think
there are a lot of people who have seen ghosts, and there are so many cases I've you know, investigated in which children see the ghosts and the parents don't, or the adults.
Yeah.
So. There is,
because
something
they're already they're already conditioned. See, that's the thing. They're already conditioned. Usually, you're already conditioned by the age of 10, and that's just part of our culture. And that was the thing. I was unconditionable in my family, unfortunately, because they were all normal. But see, that was the thing growing up, and my point exactly, because I could be, like, someone would say, you know, someone puts a picture in front of you. We do this in life, and how many people, you know, in work or just every day, someone really can present something, but things aren't what they appear to be. That's the thing that children can pick up, and that's how I am with things. Now, it can make you go crazy, because sometimes I'm in the market, and I'm feeling something. This woman that's checking me out is saying maybe something about my dress. I should just shut down and not listen. I get really upset. And
no,
I'm not saying,
you know,
I can prove it or not, but it's really upsetting. But children are like that.
I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, there's been times when I'll come back from this. I haven't been having a lot of out-of-body stuff, but lately because I've been so busy. But there was a time, you know, back when in the day that I was doing it really good. I was really good at it. And I'd come back, and I'd be all psychic. I'd be, like, vibrating, and people would talk to me, and you could kind of hear their thoughts, too, and didn't always match up. And it would get confusing when they were lying because you could tell. You could
That's right. You can tell. You just know, and it's like that's why people go, do you read tarot cards? Yes, I read them, but I don't read them like some people go, I'll tell you what the cards are saying. I don't do that. Homie, don't play that game. Homie, don't play that game. The cards are saying, I make fun of that because it's funny, because I will totally go off, and my clients have gotten to know me. I've had a lot of long-term people been coming to me for many years, until I think that maybe they should go get counseling or something elsewhere. But well, it's a good thing. But I go off, you know. I'll look at it, and then I don't go into a trance of talking in tongue, but I do go off into another place, and I don't know where exactly it is, and it's not ugly or pretty, but it just comes out. Like it's like a knowing. And it's not a believing. That's why I release from it. I don't even believe in any of this hocus pocus in a lot of ways. It's not, but that, like that one person told me, I don't believe in any of these cards. I believe in your intuition.
Right. Well, in a way, you know, there's no such thing as the paranormal. It's just we don't fully understand what's going on, I would say.
And we're really scared of the unexplainable.
Right.
I know I was. You know,
well, everyone,
but I'm
you're
open.
Listening. I'm going to take a short station break. Well, everyone,
okay.
You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest is professional psychic intuitive, psychic advisor, Maureen Holleran. And she's been doing this for a long time. Very interesting stuff. She's had a lot of experiences in this and has a lot of professional clients. And remember, this is a call-in show, so if you'd like to call in and ask a question of our guest, I'm sure she'd love to answer it.
Yeah.
And I'll give out the toll-free number right now, 888-228-4494. One more time in case you didn't have your pen ready. It's 888-228-4494. Give us a call if you have a question, if you want to share an experience or have a comment. We'd love to hear from you. It's always exciting when people call in. And okay, Maureen, here's another question. Now, can you take us through your typical reading? I mean, how do you do it? I mean, what's going on inside your head? And you know what I mean? That's what I've always found most fascinating, is how this kind of awareness works.
Well, you know, it's a connection. If people want to call, and I'll be happy to do a reading, too, by the way, if anybody is interested, you know, they want. You know, it's interesting because some people, I'm really connected with, and depending if they really are open or they're not playing around with me, right? But it's interesting because I'll start feeling, I've been physically really sick through the years from this. I'll pick up on everything, even though if they look fine, I'm feeling something that's so intense pain, and they have had, and I'll get extremely sad I never read death or anything like that, but if they've gone through something, it's almost like I mirror out their stuff.
Huh.
And that's what I was saying, like I need to release from people I'm walking down by the street, and I need to shut down and let all those other things out of my way, you know. But so it's almost like, especially when someone is really, you know, we're all connected. Some of us just don't, you know, rise to the occasion as much, but and you know, and also my intentions are honest and good, and if I'm not objective, I'll let them know. I can't help them, maybe, but yeah, it's
well,
almost like
does all kinds of information come out? I mean, does all kinds
yeah,
of information, what if it's negative?
Well, any negative can be a positive. That's exactly how I read, because we have choices, and so I'm not saying, you know, what I say is go, and I always tell people, you know, my own experiences, I know what negativity I walk into, and I know beforehand I shouldn't be. And so when I have given people insight, I go, listen, this doesn't look really good, but if I were you, I would go down the next street and this particular, I may not make sense. I put it on an audio tape for people that see me personally because I won't make sense much sometimes until later they take it home and they listen to it because I'll say, because I don't feel, and they go, that would never happen, or that person was gone, and I go, I feel there's this person, and I don't know, I'm getting really cold, it's a cold time of year, and lo and behold, I've had people come back and say, oh, you know what happened? Everything you told me happened, happened. I go, well, you know what? I also told you, don't open the door, don't even entertain the idea of me getting it. I'm using this as an example, you know, mind you.
Right.
They have, people have choices, I'm not God. So, you know, I always think every negative can be a positive because if you know, and I try to live my life like that, but I'm the worst of it all. I have issues.
Well, the reason I asked that is because sometimes, you know, I would have dreams and they would be of tragedies or someone getting ill or even dying, or and I was wondering, well, do I approach this person? Do I tell them? You know, and
well, you know, dream is a tricky thing though because dreams. I very rarely had. That would be a great tool for intuition, but sometimes it has to do with you, maybe you need to reconnect with someone you haven't been, or it could be part of you. Usually, like in my older sister, she's a therapist, and Carl Jung, and would talk about there would be dreams would represent ourselves, and actually, and you'd be dying, or you're sick, and you need to take care of yourself, and you were seeing somebody else, so.
Right.
I don't know about poaching. You know, like, I will never read death because I could be wrong, and you tell someone that, and that's not nice. It's just not my place. I'm not God. I'm not God. You know, people always want to ask you that. Am I going to die? I always crack up. I go, what? Everybody always wants, we're all going to die. But a lot of people go, well, am I going to die? What do they want? Take care of it, you know. But there are times where I'll pick up past things that have been losses or deaths. I will. And I do connect with people from, I'm not one, I won't, you know, Sam, you know, I will pick up on energies from the, that have passed on.
Right.
But I don't proclaim to be, that's my specialty or anything. But if it has happened, and when it does, boy, it's very, very intense and good. But I'm not a pet, I don't do pets.
Not a pet psychic, huh?
I know, that's becoming pretty popular, though, isn't it?
There's a niche for that, apparently.
There's definitely a lot more pet psychics I've been seeing. I don't know. I had a little cat help me one day look for someone to hit my car, and I called my pet the cat psychic. I called him my psychic cat investigator. I was detective, yeah. He was, never mind. But
Well, Maureen, do you ever encounter skeptics in your work? And why do you think people are still skeptical of this stuff when... Really, I think the evidence is extremely persuasive.
Because, again, I think because of their own conditionings, and I think that in order for anybody to be open to anything, even to do work on themselves, really, be honest, you have to release from false ego, and that is very difficult. Even from, you know, think about it, the word. Releasing from false ego is very, very difficult in the way we've been raised in our society, especially. We don't want to look like we don't, you know, and this applies to women and men both. It's even in relationships. People will couple up, and what will happen is they coupled up for all the wrong reasons. It's all about something rather than spiritual or connection. And then what they do is instead of doing some work after it's over, they run and they go on to someone next instead of rebuilding and restructuring and their foundation of what works for them because it's lonely and scary. So people... You know what? People talk about, like, I had a gut feeling. You know, my father's an entrepreneur. This is a good example. He told, you know, this is the best family I could have picked for me to be in. And he has intuition, but he doesn't see it like that. But until he did recognize, he does have a lot. But he was raised not to believe, or that's not right. But what do these businessmen do when they do these big multi-million dollars? They get a gut feeling, right? That's intuition.
Right.
You know, your guts. They call it the gut feeling, or they had a hunch.
Well, it's interesting how someone's, you know, childhood conditioning can totally influence them. I had one guest on the show a couple years back who was a demonologist, and in his mind, every single ghost encounter was the devil. You know, even if it was your grandma, you know, trying to say hello. And so, I mean, my goodness.
That would cross over into religious something. You know, that's the thing. don't you think about someone, because, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I'm not a real practice. I go only during this time of year just recently because it's a resurrection, and I have a very strong feeling about how we all need to do useful sacrifices and really have some pain and resurrect and get on with ourselves. So I did go to church recently this past month. But with being from a Catholic upbringing, before they changed in the 60s, too, which was pretty awful how they were, I started thinking what I was experiencing, because there was a woman that was talking to me when this stuff was happening, when everything came to light, what I was supposed to do. And it was such a beautiful sound, but I was scared that she was a devil. Huh. Immediately. And that was coming from my religious upbringing, though.
Well, you know, what's fascinating about that to me is, if you look at, you know, religious history, especially back, you know, in 1800s and earlier, there's a lot of really prominent figures, you know, the Christian saints, Catholic saints.
You're absolutely
all different,
right.
And they have all these experiences.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Preston, what's so funny is that finally I came to terms with hating my Catholicism upbringing. They were terrible to me when I was a kid. You know, they'd switch me from right-handed, left to right-handed at 8 years old. That was bad. That was disgusting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were rude. I mean, that was cruel. Anyway, but I found out later what I loved, and I found this is a positive. I finally came to terms going, you know what? I love my candles. I love my incense. I love those angels. And you know what? You go into a Catholic church, and that's what that shit's all about. Sorry for my language. Excuse me. That's what that interesting stuff. They're so... Everything's so symbol. There are symbols, and everything. They're the most of anybody, any type of the major traditional religions. They have all those rituals, and that actually I love. You know, so maybe. And they were always talking about miraculous things going on too. You bring up a good point, and now they're even more so talking about even the, you know, the everybody saying yes, the Virgin Mary was seen. Those are, you know, paranormal things, aren't they? Yeah.
Right. Right.
I think they finally got on board with me. They're a team player now.
Well, it amuses me when, you know, someone who's really religious says, oh, you know, psychic stuff, that's, you can't talk to psychics, that's the devil. When in fact, if you look, like I was saying earlier, I mean, there's so many saints who would give readings for people. They would line up and come from all over, you know, Europe or wherever to talk to these
And they were good.
Advisors,
they were good,
basically.
Decent people. And you're right. And that's they had something. I always say I talk a lot, but I have something to say. I don't know. But you know, that's very true. And you know, those were the people that were. And that's where it's kind of gotten out of hand, because people will read a book and they're going to be a psychic, and they market very well and they charge all this money. And people think they're really good, and they're not. Maybe. I'm not putting everybody down, but then all of a sudden you have this into a marketing thing. And in the day and the time where people would listen to the wisdom of some, what knowledge speaks, what wisdom listens, is that how it goes? Knowledge, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little thing. And the thing is, those people they didn't have an ego problem. They were able to release from false ego. And those were the people that people would come to for insight. They were prophets or whatever, or sensitive. But they also were stoned by other people later, because they were threatened by the leaders of that time, especially the tarot cards, the leaders of the time during the time period of the 1400s. I did some research. That's why they outlawed them, because the leaders at the time were very threatened by the whole fact that these things might be, because people were seeing beyond some of them. And then there were the witches that they burned. They weren't doing anything wrong, you know. Seeing beyond, seeing what these people are up to. But, I too have been guilty of that. I felt anything unexplainable, it scared the heck out of me. And I thought negative, negative, negative. And I've had negative people until someone came up to me and challenged me. And it was one of those people that said, you're an evildoer. The Bible's going to, you know, you're a sinner. And I said, listen, if I'm a sinner, my God this morning told me, he said, thank you for not trying to attempt suicide for once in your life. And you're doing really well. I don't know what God you're listening to, but I shut them up because I hate that. I dislike that. I hate I dislike someone attacking me when they don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Well,
you know, because there are some psychics that aren't nice, but, you know, anybody
absolutely.
That says that your personal power is theirs, it has a problem, for one. And there are psychics that think they're all that. Oh, my gosh. Haven't you ever come across them? My God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly.
I mean, they are God, and that's all. And that, to me, is wrong. People's personal power is very important.
Yeah, I once went to a psychic, and you know, she was good, actually. You know, I've seen a number of them throughout the years, and usually I would say that they hit on, you know, they always surprised me with their accuracy. But after she was giving me a really good reading, it was over, and then she says, "Okay, I need you to give me like $1,000 to because something really bad is going to happen to you," and blah 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 blah.
That's what I'm talking about. Those people are still, you know what? That's, and you're not, you know, it breaks my heart because they're good enough to get people to trust them, and there's little tricks to that too, Preston. I do know. It's amazing.
Wow.
People don't pick up on it, and there, it is amazing. And then they gain your trust. Then they. And, you know, I'll tell you, like, I met this man, he was embarrassed, $20,000, he was a very smart businessman. And I was, like, appalled, and a waitress lost $300 to her, that was, like, $20,000. She was a single mom to this one woman. And I don't put people down. The other people do that work. But I do not see psychics. I had two bad experiences, and that's why I don't, because I was looking for some help. I wasn't looking because I would do this. And I was really shocked. What I found was just, I was delusion to think that maybe that I was around people I finally connected with it like me, but no, they're not all like the same. And there's some very good people out there too.
Oh yeah. Well,
but $700 for a reading, please.
No, it's ridiculous. Some are it's just outrageous. Well, everyone, this is a call-in show. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. Our guest tonight is Maureen Halloran, professional psychic. If you'd like to give us a call, she'd love to answer any questions you might have, give you a reading if you'd like. The toll-free number, I'll give it out now. It's 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. If you're international, there's other toll-free numbers on the website, which you can use. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Maureen, what can people, you know, themselves do to become more intuitive? You know,
well,
people who are listening who are, you know, kind of scared of the subject and hearing it for the first time.
I think we're all heading in that direction right now with the way things are going in our lives. But is to, you know what? What I try to tell my daughters do a lot different than me, but I try to say, you know what? Listen, close your eyes. You know, some people pick men with their eyes wide open. I'm using women now as an example. Well, people, they just close their eyes for a moment and just be. Just be. Be still, or just be. And just kind of feel things out. And then I'd always think, you know, pick a boyfriend with your eyes closed, or pick pick a situation instead of going with everybody, always going around with a group. And I'm not saying to, you know, to make yourself isolated, but I do think that we really need to start listening to the children, to our own children, when they're younger. If they see something, don't disregard them. Say, oh, that's ridiculous. But open yourself up. It's like, does it take a loss or something to happen, like you said? And for me, it took something extremely difficult for me to finally open up. But you know, it's okay to be skeptical, but don't look at it as believing in something so much or being religiously going against it. That's the thing. It has a bad rap in some ways. And also to do some reading about, you know, self-awareness, being very self-aware, and doing some reading and going out and sitting. I live at the beach, and going out and just sitting there and looking and going, this is magnificent. Look at this. This is much, there's something much more grander out there, and it's so there in front of them. And it's magnificent, and that can bring people a lot more in tune to what they were at a time when they're born. They couldn't talk. You know, it's almost like to feel. Now, sometimes I feel too much. I'm all over the place. But I think, you know, I really do get away from believing it, because that's my problem. I don't believe in a lot of things, but it's not about beliefs anymore. It's about what you know. And if everybody else is saying, well, how can that be? And well, it doesn't matter. Everybody should be individually doing, you know, and going inward, even when they're walking around, and know that sometimes people do know, but they'll go along with everybody else because that's the best way to get along in life.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Like, you know, my family is the best way for them all just to ignore me, even though they they all later said there was something interesting, things that would come up that they just wanted to shut me up. You know, it's easier as a group. But I think that we're coming into a place right now, I'm sure you've had people on talking about this, we're all needing to be a little bit more, we're all connected, we need to keep connecting and moving forward.
Right, right. Well, we are all
judging.
One to a certain extent, right?
And yeah.
But, I mean, when you're getting information which is coming from, this is my theory, right, is that if we're all one, then you can have access to all the information in the universe.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And without being threatened or feeling threatened by, or laughing or you know what, just, sometimes I don't get some of these people, but I do. Some people just aren't capable, or maybe at the time. Then you just got to love them, and that's fine, and that's okay. But, like, you know, I particularly would rather talk about something more substantial with somebody than not. Now, my friends are one friend in England, that's it. My clients are wonderful, and I'm really funny, and I have a good bubbly sense of humor, but really I'm pretty extra, I'm really to myself. People don't think that I seem like that, but I am, because people don't like to sit down and listen to me too much.
Huh.
You know, they say I'm too deep. I'm too deep.
That's funny. Well, Matt, no, I know what you're talking about. There's,
yeah, and it's kind of, it gets, it's very, it's been very lonely. It's a lonely, lonely, lonely walk, but that's
constantly
okay.
Bringing up life after death and these subjects, and people kind of groan and turn away.
Oh,
you know,
especially, they don't want to deal with that. They want to talk about, hey, let's go for a drink.
Or Britney Spears or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you know, and all that, and you know, it's interesting. But, you know, I just think that, you know, and the demonology person you're talking about, and that must have been interesting. That was, like, you had a guest on your show, correct, you said?
Right, right.
That must have been, whoa. I mean,
it was a shock, actually. I wasn't quite prepared for that. But,
wow.
It was interesting.
I bet you had to put a nice white light box around you to keep you contained.
Yeah, it was a very interesting show, to say the least.
That, see, that can be from a lot of intensity of past life stuff that needs to be dealt with. I don't know. And I do believe, like anybody else, what you're going to throw out there, you're going to get back. And if you're going to try to do good, not to the point where you're, you know, doing it for self-centered, completely self-absorbed reasons, that things will come around. You know, and also, like, when I read for people also, I do tell them a lot of times that they want to see sometimes they test new people, and I said, you know, homie, don't play that game. But I do think that what happens is I just start talking on certain things, and they get, I've had someone one time, a long time ago, put their fist started coming at me to shut me up, because they thought it was going to be really funny, fun and fortune-telling, and there was all this stuff coming up about something that they weren't really wanting to deal with, of course. And I didn't do it to hurt, to bother them, but my older sister, being a therapist, mentioned something to me long ago, and she said, you know, Maureen, people come to me and they're ready to do work on themselves. You know, I'm a therapist. But people come to somebody that's reading tarot cards across from them, and you're coming up with all this stuff that were not prepared, because you're not coming to see a therapist. You're going to be in trouble. And so, you know, there's a fine line to go. So I go beyond, I'm not, you know, I use the tarot cards, but if I pick up on some intense stuff, I'm going to go on that, and somebody will get really angry because they're not wanting to or ready to deal with it. So I sometimes, but I have a lot of good people, talented. I have a lot of open people that I have had, that a lot of more men lately too, that are really willing to open up more than ever to try to work on some stuff that they normally would not have ever have exposed about themselves, like, you know, maybe rage or stuff like that.
Right. Well, here's a question I have to ask you, because I ask it of all my guests, and you don't have to answer if you don't want, but what do you think of UFOs? Have you ever seen a UFO?
Yeah, I keep something very close to my heart from when I lived in, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes, when I was 3 years old, and I remember this so clearly more than when I was six, three for some reason, we lived in Las Vegas, I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, not conceived, but there was, And I remember this so, and I've talked about it for years, and there was this light. I was in my brother's room, and there were six kids at the time. Oh, yeah. Three oldest were born, old, you know, apart, kind of, three youngest. But so I was in my brother's room staying the night in there, and because they were gone, and I thought it'd be cool. And I saw, and the door, the windows were pulled open, the crank ones, and this little, this blue, gorgeous blue light started bop, beep, bopping in. And I thought my brother and I'm yelling, don't do that to me, you're scaring me. I thought he was using, but he wasn't there. And I remember watching this thing, and it was like, whoa. But it had this incredible looking blue. And it wasn't big, but it just like was kind of bebopping around. It wasn't like I saw a man or person. And that happened quite a bit when I lived there. Now, Vegas is pretty notorious in the desert and stuff for things of that, you know, nature. But right. Years later, 25, 30 years later, I was in this hotel, and this blue, and I was with somebody, go, what the hell is that? And I go, and it's exactly the same type of light. It wasn't that I saw it up in the air or something, or up in the sky, but I did read later on, some other people I've heard on, you know, radio shows, have talked about a bluish type of light, or a ball.
Like a ball of light?
Yeah, a little like coming into the inside environment. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well when you saw this ball of light, I mean, do you remember it having like smooth edges or hard edges? Or
I was
fuzzy
young.
Or?
I was young, but it didn't seem ugly to me, okay? So I'm going on because I was young. It seemed to be like smooth and soothing, actually, to look at. But it wasn't like a ball bouncing either. It was like fluttering, and it didn't leave a trail. It wasn't like trailing. But it kind of it was a glow. It was a beautiful blue. But it came in from out of the. It came in from outside, and then it went away.
Into the house.
Yeah, it came into the window. The windows were the crank. It was a hot night. They're the crank open ones, no screens, you know. Well, yeah, and I had heard some other people talk about this before. They talked about some blue light, little light that they had seen.
Yeah, I have heard many accounts of that. Yeah.
So I'm really, you know, I am. You know what? I have no judgment because I don't. Like I said, it's not that I don't believe in them or I do or not, but I do know definitely what I know, and I know that there are. Let me put it this way: I validate everything that you have put out on your books. Okay, I'm now with me, and you know, I don't know, but there's somebody told me one time that they felt that somebody unsolicitedly came up and they said, "Oh, I feel that you've had a lot of stuff going on. Someone may have put a lot of stuff inside of you, and you've had a lot of problems. Meaning, someone had maybe taken me for a ride up there. I don't know."
Oh,
but yeah, and
well, I ask because you know there's a lot of psychics who have had UFO experiences, and there does seem to be a connection there on some level.
I think so too. Maybe
I think they're interested. I think they're interested in people who have a psychic awareness, and definitely they try and ignite that in people.
I was quite little too, so that makes some sense. And I remember telling everybody, and they go, "What are you talking about?" And I go, "I was three." I go, "Oh man, here I go. I'm on from crazy land the next 40 years." But it was a pretty light. I remember I wasn't scared. I thought my brother. I wasn't scared. But then I could have been taken away for a while. For all I know, I don't know. No, I find it so fascinating, and I'm all. Money that's put into that research too, as well.
Very cool.
Helpful. Yeah.
We're reaching the end of our show. We still have a couple of minutes, but I want to give you a chance to, you know, let our listeners know the information you think that they should know, and you know, if you have a website, if you'd like to give that.
Yeah,
out.
I have a website. It's a little bit under construction. Nobody called in. They didn't want to talk to me, did they?
Sometimes we get callers in. Sometimes we don't. You know, people are shy.
I'm just joking. It's okay. Oh, it sucks. Okay. I have a website. Would you like me to tell?
I
can say that right now. It's www.tarotvisions. It's all one word. TarotVisions.us. As in U.S. United States. Yes, and I really I enjoyed. I hope I wasn't talking too fast for you.
Oh no, good.
You have one of those brilliant minds. That's great. And I'm on Facebook. Yes, I'm on Facebook too.
Oh, cool.
I know, okay. That's become the latest craze. But thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You're a delight. And
thank you.
Very exciting stories.
Thank you.
So do you have anything planned for the future? What's going on upcoming?
Well, the mothership's going to get... Well, you know, I really am wanting to get back into the media of radio. Maybe hosting a show, but... Also, people writing books and everything now and all that, I really, really like to pick up on something I left behind about 15 years ago. And basically, I need to keep working.
Right.
Keep working like everybody else. But so basically, I really enjoy being on radio. To me, is just so lovely. I love this radio, and nowadays with the technology, reaching out to all over the place, like you said, you're
that's
all over.
Fun,
I mean,
yeah.
Everywhere, the world.
Right. Well,
and I have a lot of clients around
the
world.
Right.
Yeah, and I do webcam reading. I have clients all over the world too. It's amazing how this it's kind of neat. How things evolved into that.
Very cool.
You know, so.
All right,
anyway,
well, we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank you,
Marie, so much.
We're out of
time. Thank you, Preston, for having me. And if you ever want a reading, let me know.
Oh, awesome. Really?
I'll be good. Okay. Okay, well, good night.
Well, I just might take you up on that. All right,
yeah.
Everyone, that is our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight... our guest has been Maureen Holleran. That's H-O-L-L-E-R-A-N. You can type that in, Google her on the internet, and definitely a lot of entries will come up. You can also check out her website at www.tarotvisions.us. That's all one word, tarot visions, just like tarot cards, T-A-R-O-T. And I'll check it out. It's a really cool website, newly updated, and it's got lots of interesting stuff on it. And get a reading. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It can change your life. I've had several, and I've always come away from them just totally jazzed and really high energy. I think it's lots of fun. So that's our show. I hope you've all enjoyed it, and I hope you're going to join us next week when we bring on another guest on UFOs and the Paranormal. Until then, have a wonderful night and a great week. Bye now.